1 Peter chapter 2. Paul makes a point about the death of Jesus beginning in verse 21 of that chapter when he writes, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like straying sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." What Peter writes here is profound. He talks about how Jesus suffered injustice against himself to satisfy divine justice for the human race and its sin. That, among other things, seems to be what Peter is saying here. And Peter works this essential theme in other places in this letter. I think about back in chapter 1, beginning in verse 17, when he says, "If you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." Or later in the letter, in chapter 3, when he writes in verse 18, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive in the spirit." All of this, of course, when you put it together, is why we speak of the message of and about Jesus as gospel, as good news. And the concept of how the message of and about Jesus is good news, it can be explained in so many different ways. No one description satisfies all the significance of it. We can say that God has saved us from our sins, and so we don't have to die. That's good news. We can say that God has been true to his nature and that he has, in Christ's death and resurrection, fulfilled both his own divine justice and wrath against sin, as well as his own mercy and love towards sinners in the Christ event. We can say that in Christ and his cross, God has defeated his enemy Satan and his tools of sin and death. And thereby, God has reasserted his kingdom for his people. God does indeed reign. And all of that is good news as well. We moderns like nice, tight categories, clean lines, succinct definitions, concise summaries. After all, we're the people who invented AI. But what happened in the cross, it defies simple description. And so back to chapter 2. In verse 24, there are two particular phrases I want us to notice this morning. Notice in verse 24 that Peter says, in light of Christ's death, that we can die to sin and live to righteousness ourselves. Christ's death allows us to reset our humanity to factory settings, if you will, to no longer live for or be defined by sin or under its consequence of death. We no longer think the way the world thinks about anything, including a form of justice that requires us to take matters into our own hands rather than entrusting ourselves to him who judges justly, and therefore will be the one to set things to right for us in the end. We don't have to engage in human vigilante justice. We are simply free now in Christ to live God's right ways for us, to fulfill our created purpose, to be alive in righteousness. But there's another phrase, or another word really, that Peter uses in verse 24. He says that he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. That use of the word tree for the cross, it's an interesting phrase, isn't it? He bore our sins in his body on the tree. That's what Peter says. The cross as tree. That's an interesting swap. And it's interesting. In the Gospels, it's Jesus bore his cross. He would be crucified. He would be lifted up. He would tell his disciples to take up their crosses and follow him. Jesus doesn't speak of trees. He speaks of crosses. But the apostles, when they begin to preach, it's often the tree. It's not just Peter who does it. I think about in the book of Acts. I think about how in chapter 5 and verse 30, the apostles preached there in Jerusalem that the God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you, speaking to their Jewish compatriots, who you killed by hanging him on a tree. I think about Acts chapter 10, where Peter, to Cornelius' house, household, says, "We are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree." I think about Acts chapter 13, where this is how the apostles preach it. "And when they had carried out," speaking of the Jews, "when they had carried out all that was written of him in the prophecies, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb." Think about what the apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 3 and verse 13. "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree.'" And it's there perhaps in Galatians chapter 3 where Paul gives us a little bit of a hint of why the apostles were so prone to switch from cross to tree. Because when Paul in Galatians points out, "Cursed is everyone who's hanged on a tree," he's taking us back to Deuteronomy. He's taking us back to the Pentateuch, to the five books of Moses, to the very beginning of the Bible, to the very beginning of God's written revelation to the human race. Where in the law of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 22, beginning, this is what the law of God given to his people on earth at that time said. "And if a man has committed a crime punishable by death, he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain on the tree all night, but you shall bury him that same day. For a hanged man is cursed by God. You shall not defile your land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance." And there's the phrase that Paul picks up on in Galatians. A man hanged is cursed by God. It's interesting, isn't it? There are plenty of laws in the law of Moses where the death penalty was to be enforced. But often God called upon people to be stoned for their sins. To be stoned. But if a man was further not just stoned or some other way put to death, but hung on a tree, that was particularly accursed. Why was it that being hung on a tree was a mark of accursedness by God? Well, that's something worth thinking about, isn't it? Paul talks about the fact that he bore the curse for the crimes we committed. He was hung from a tree. He bore the curse pronounced upon humanity for sin ultimately committed in the garden, sin that involved a tree. Paul's already taken us back to the five books of Moses, taking us back to Deuteronomy, but Moses had more to say about trees and curses, didn't he? You go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17. Have you ever thought about carefully about exactly how God said what he said to Adam in the garden? When the forbidden fruit had been eaten. Forbidden fruit from a forbidden tree. Genesis 3 and verse 17, God said to Adam, "Because you listened to the voice of your wife," and God could have stopped right there and gone on with judgment, but he didn't. He said more. "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and you have eaten of the tree which I commanded you." And again, God could have said it any way he wanted. He could have said, you could have eaten fruit that I forbidden. No, God said explicitly, "Because you have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you." A ground that God goes on to clarify, a ground from which Adam was taken, and a ground to which he would now return in death. A ground, in fact, to which all humans born ever since have returned to because of death, because of the curse, because of sin. And so now in Christ, sin, curse, death, and tree come together again. This time because of God's grace to undo the connection between sin, curse, death, and tree set upon the human race in the garden. Now when Christ is hung upon the tree, now God undoes what Adam has wrought. God now sets us free from sin so we can live in righteousness. Truly does Peter write rightly. By his wounds we have been healed. Yea, verily, even healed from death itself. And so as we come to the table this morning, let us eat and and let us drink as people who have been freed from sin and death. By his wounds we have been healed. At this table gather people who are intentionally living into righteousness, people who know that by God's grace, in the cross, in the tree upon which Christ was hung, we have been reset to factory settings. We are not able to live into righteousness. We are people who gather at this table this morning who understand that in this bread and in this cup, in this body and blood of the Lord, we find the real tree of life opened up once more to us because he was once hung upon the tree for us. So let us eat, and so let us drink.